The following is a work of fiction inspired by many true stories. BBC. Starring Gina McKee and Jeremy Northam. Fiona's Story. In a large, warmly lit church, a choir watch their conductor as he takes the soloist through her performance. They wait, with their scores held out in front of them, as the soloist fills the building with her song. Standing next to the soloist in the front row, a slim brunette woman, Fiona, studies her songbook and takes a deep breath with her fellow choristers. The choir leader catches her eye and she smiles a little as she sings. Outside.
See you soon.
See you next time,
Pete. See ya.
You ready?
No.
Come.
The band leader grabs her hand and they run out into the pouring rain. Next, they're pulling up outside a line of terraced townhouses. Fiona takes off her seatbelt and looks at him.
Thank you.
As she reaches for her bag, he tries to kiss her.
Charlie, I'm sorry. I can't do this.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fee.
Don't be.
She gets out of the car and runs through the rain to some steps that lead up to a house with a glass-panelled front door. Once inside, she draws a curtain across the door. Later, she's lying awake in bed in the darkness. A clock radio reads 2:09. On a dresser next to makeup and children's toy figures are a series of framed photographs. Some are of Fiona with her husband, Simon, while others are of their three daughters. Now Fiona's sitting up on the edge of the bed, playing with her fingers. After a few moments, she gets up and goes into the next room, where Simon's working on a laptop.
Hi.
You're gonna sleep in our bed tonight?
I've got so much to do. I'll come to bed early tomorrow. With you. I promise.
Okay.
They hug.
I love you, Simon.
She strokes his face, but he moves away.
Simon.
He leans in and kisses her on the lips, and she stares at him intensely. They start to kiss hungrily. He stares down at her, a look crossing his face as the passion ebbs away. Then he turns away. Later, Fiona's asleep in bed. Her eyes slowly open, and she looks at the clock. It's 5:59. She runs downstairs, passing a row of different-sized wellies, and pulls back the curtain. Three people are at the door.
Yeah?
Morning. Does Simon Mortimer live here?
What happened?
We'd like to speak to Mr. Mortimer, please. Is he in?
Yeah.
The woman's shown her police badge. Fiona runs upstairs to the study.
Simon? Simon?
Mm-hmm.
Simon, the police are here.
What?
The police, they want to see you. They want to tell me what it's about.
What's happened?
I don't know.
What time is it?
Six-ish.
The children still asleep.
Yeah.
Where are they?
They're in the sitting room.
They both go downstairs to the living room, where the police are waiting.
How can I help?
Theo Brewster.
Simon Mortimer.
We'd like to speak to your husband alone, Mrs. Mortimer.
I'd like to stay.
We'd like to speak to him alone.
Looking confused, Fiona leaves the room and drops down onto a bench in the hall. She runs up the stairs to her little girl, who's looking over the banisters.
I woke up and you weren't there.
Yes, I was just making some tea, darling.
Well, Daddy wasn't there too.
Yes, he's having a meeting. Shall we wake up the big girls?
Yeah.
Come on, girls. Alice?
Yes.
Don't jump on your sister, come on.
Hi, kids. Come on, get your clothes on. Come on, off you go. We'll have breakfast later. Go on.
Go!
What's happening?
They want to search the house.
Why?
It's a mistake. It's nothing. It's stupid. I'll tell you later.
No, Simon. Don't tell me now.
They want to arrest me. They think I've been looking at child pornography on the internet. It's a mistake. Someone's used my credit card details. They made a mistake.
How many computers do you have in the house? How many computers do you have in the house?
Two.
There's this is your laptop and my old one. They're in Simon's study and my desktop in the sitting room.
Shall we,
A wave of disbelief washes over her.
You can have my
toes. Will you? Don't give away your toes to Sal, please. You need to eat it.
Yeah.
She's making sandwiches.
But what do they want?
I told you, they're just work friends of Daddy's.
No. Got a key for the cellar?
Yes.
The youngest girl, Sally, follows the officer.
My best friend's called Hannah.
The light is on the left.
I'm in the sheets.
Yes.
Mum, can Lauren come round?
Not today, sorry.
You said she could.
I know, I'm sorry. Another time, darling.
I need the sheet for the Christmas play.
Oh, listen, I don't think your daddy's going to be able to come today, darling.
Why?
He's got a meeting. Go and brush your teeth. Sally, can you brush your teeth, please? Yeah. Good girl.
As she reaches the study, an officer comes out carrying a hard drive. She finds Brewster at Simon's desk, looking at his laptop.
Do we need a lawyer?
He's a duty solicitor.
When will he be home?
Simon's perched on the single bed, looking forlorn.
Look, I've got to take the girls to school. Will you still be here?
We're nearly finished.
Simon hangs his head and sighs.
can you? When you take Simon in the car, can you please be discreet?
It's an unmarked car, if that's what you're asking.
Lost for words, Fiona leaves the room, and as she goes downstairs, she's met by a police officer.
Is there an attic?
No.
Numb, she hurries the children along the pavement.
There's an activity room.
At her school, Fiona's sitting in the audience as the children perform a nativity play. She just stares blankly out in front of her as the three wise men make their way onto the stage and lay their gifts at the baby Jesus' feet. Outside the school, one of the other parents stops her.
You look awful.
Thanks.
What's the matter?
Nothing, just Christmas, you know.
Here, I know. Look, I'll call you, right?
Yeah, okay.
She arrives home and puts her bag down in the hall. The house seems quiet, and she runs up the stairs to the study. Stepping tentatively inside, she finds the desk strewn with paperwork, but the laptop gone. She walks over to the desk and looks down at it with a lost expression. Glancing briefly at the single bed, she brings her hand up to her belly. Now she walks into an official-looking building with another woman.
Of course it's a mistake.
I know.
It's so easy to get hold of someone's details.
I know, Em. I'll leave him.
Don't be silly. They'll talk to the credit card company and send him home. It'll be okay, I promise. It's this dear old Simon we're talking about. The man you married, Jake's godfather. I won't believe he's done this thing. And neither should you.
M continues inside and Fiona leaves. Now, she's waiting outside a school. Another mother is reading a newspaper with the headline, Police Smash a Web of Evil. She catches Fiona's eye.
Want her streeting.
School finishes and Sally runs out happily to Fiona. When she and the girls arrive home, Simon's getting out of a taxi.
Daddy!
The girls run over as he pays the driver. The other two girls follow Sally up to the front door while Fiona hugs Simon.
Okay.
They're watching a video.
He takes a drink from a mug.
Look, we're in trouble. Some porn company got busted in Texas, I think it was, and my number got passed to the police. Someone stole my identity. You know, credit card details, and they used it to look at this stuff. It wasn't me, I didn't do it, Fee. You've got to trust me on this.
You know, dear.
It's going to be a long haul.
What's going to happen?
Well, I've been bailed. I have to find a solicitor.
Yeah, we'll find on tomorrow. I'll ring Em. She'll know something.
No. Not Em, please. I can't bear to think of anyone
through this. I promise you.
Proper old day, said Arthur. Fiona reads the girls a story while Simon listens from the stairs.
Tom was burdened with a 2-handled sword wrapped in a sacking.
Christmas dinner, and a number of people, including Simon and Fiona, are gathered round a dinner table. While everyone around him chats happily, Simon just stares out ahead sadly. Suddenly he gets up and leaves the room, but the only person who notices is Fiona. After a few moments, she follows him and finds him sitting on the sofa, staring into a roaring fire in the living room.
Simon? Simon?
He sits, sobbing into his hands.
Hey, darling, what is it? Come on, it's all right.
I want to kill myself. I can't do it.
Just two more hours. Hey, Simon. Two more hours, that's all. Come on.
I'm going to get in prison.
No, you're not. You're not. Stop it.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Come on. Simon, look at me.
It's not just the children. I've seen other things, horrible things. Violent things.
She's taken aback.
What do you say?
Tears fall gently from her eyes and roll down her cheeks as she stares at him, frozen with disbelief. She moves back a little and swallows hard.
Why?
He trembles and shakes his head, looking like a naughty little boy.
I don't know why. I don't know.
For how long?
4 years. Maybe 5 years.
Love us, Tiff. It always was a terrible crybaby. Come on, sweetheart. Join the fun.
His mother squeezes his shoulder, and he wipes his eyes with a Christmas napkin. He gets up and follows her out of the room, leaving Fiona looking shell-shocked. They arrive home in the darkness, and rain pelts down on them. Sally's fallen asleep in the car, and Fiona carries her inside. Now she walks slowly down the stairs and stops halfway. She watches as Simon walks through the hall and hangs his coat on the banister beneath a sprig of mistletoe. He rubs his face wearily, then starts to climb the stairs.
I think I'm going to bed.
He walks past without even looking at her, as she remains motionless on the stairs. Sometime later, Fiona's sitting in the living room, biting her nails nervously. She hears something and gets to her feet to rush to the front door. She opens it to let Em in. In the living room, she pulls Em to her.
It's okay.
She drops down into a chair.
Oh, Emma, I want him to leave.
Yes.
What's going to happen if he goes to prison? What's going to happen to me and the girls? Why the hell has he done this to us? Do you mean it's been 5 years? He's been doing it for 5 years since before Sally was born.
He adores you, Fee.
We make love once a year, if that. You said it was a mistake, but I knew. Deep down, I knew him. What if it's more than just looking at pictures?
I don't know. I don't know. But he loves you very much. If you leave now, the girl's lives will collapse. So will yours.
Oh, I can't face it, Em. I just want to take my girls and run away.
Later, she's leaning over the toilet bowl, vomiting. She drops back against the wall, then leaves the bathroom and switches off the light. Gently rubbing her stomach, she looks into one of the children's bedrooms, then checks the other. In their bedroom, Simon's already beneath the bedclothes with his back towards her. She walks tentatively towards the bed, then perches on the edge of it and takes a few sips of water. Climbing carefully in, she lies staring at the ceiling.
Please don't leave me.
Without a word, she turns her head away from him on the pillow. Daytime. And outside a large police station, a man in a suit strides over to Simon and Fiona.
Hi, Matt.
Simon.
This is Matt. This is my wife, Fiona.
Hello.
Pleased to meet you.
Will it take long?
Depends what they've got to say. If they charge him, possibly.
Can we get on with it?
The two men walk off together, leaving Fiona on the other side of the road. Sitting on a bench, she reaches into the pocket of her cardigan and pulls out a children's toy figure. She's rolling it over in her hands when Simon approaches her.
Well, it's a reprieve of sorts. They've given me bail for another 3 months.
What does that mean?
Breathing space, I suppose. Nothing more.
I've looked at the money. There isn't any. And if you go to prison, we'll default on the mortgage and lose the house.
Sake, Simon, it has to be said. There's 2 grand in child benefit in Alice's building society. We need to transfer that into the joint account for legal fees. Can you do that, please?
I'm afraid it's gone.
What?
I used it to buy my new laptop and your computer.
The one you bought me?
Yeah, I got rid of the old one. There were pictures on the hard drive.
I had to do something. It's all over the news.
He swigs from a bottle of water.
You use my computer?
Sometimes. At first.
That was still upstairs. The police took it away.
Yeah, I know. You wanted to give it to the school, remember?
What did you do with your old laptop?
Smashed it up. Chucked it. You know, there's a sliding scale for sentencing people.
Let's just deal with what we know.
Blake was sent down yesterday for 18 months.
There's no point in speculating. Right, I've made, two columns. One for people we tell when you go to court, if. And one for people we tell now. Your parents, your brother,
no.
Jules.
No.
What do you mean, no?
I mean, no, we don't tell anyone, Fiona.
We can't
anybody.
Do this alone.
I said no!
He walks out.
I've known Jules for 20 years. I trust her.
The trouble is, you tell one person you trust, and that one person tells another person. And before you know it, everybody knows. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? All the other mothers whispering and pointing and pulling their kids away from our girls. You want the abuse, phone calls, people we don't even know breaking our windows and spraying our front door with filth, because that's what you'll get.
It's going to happen soon enough if you go to jail, isn't it?
She throws down her pen.
What's the point in all of this? No matter what I do, it's all going to turn to shit.
Point is the girls. Our daughters.
Morning, and the girls bring Fiona breakfast in bed.
Happy Mother's Day, Mum. Happy Mother's Day.
What a surprise.
We got you a present.
That's lovely.
From us. Daddy got it, actually. It's from us.
Lovely. Oh, that's nice.
You have one, Mum.
Well, I'll have breakfast first, but you can have one.
Thank you. This is from me.
Simon's given her a frame containing a photograph of each of the five members of the family smiling. She smiles sorrowfully. Another day, and Simon and Fiona arrive at school to pick the girls up.
Hiya, lovebird. Can't get enough of each other, can you?
You know what it's like.
Well, not really. Nice suit.
Driving along.
Get on your nerves.
We've had a letter from social services.
Why are you telling me in front of the girls?
I didn't want you to be cross with me.
What do they want?
What do you think they want?
They pull up outside the house. The girls get out of the car.
Crossing the road, careful.
What are you asking me to do?
We need to say that the pictures were for research or something.
Research? For what?
Don't want to know about her fabulous sex life.
What sex life? Why don't we just tell them the truth? They can help us, and that's what they're there for.
For Christ's sake, they'll take away the children. We'll lose everything if you don't help me, Fiona. They'll take away our precious girls. Do you want that?
Another day outside school.
Mum, can Lauren come?
Oh, not today, darling.
Why?
I told you, no.
God, why are you always so grumpy?
Because I'm really horrible, that's all.
Please.
No, I've told you not to wear that idiotic skirt. You look like a tart.
Which is worse.
Thanks. Are you right? Yeah. Come on, let's go.
Fiona and the girls arrive home.
Girls?
Yeah?
Somebody is coming to talk to us today about how people live, about... about how we live.
Are they talking to Dad or just us?
Well, Dad's coming home special, yeah.
Way!
Oh, maybe we could have pizza for tea, yes?
Yeah. I hate snakes and ladders. Fucking snakes and ladders.
Hey, Edith. Now is not the right time.
When is the right time, Mum?
Next, Fiona's in the kitchen with a man and a woman.
And what about discipline, Fiona? Do you ever smack the children?
No. No, never. Well, I mean, I might if they ran out into the road.
And what about sleepovers? If Alice has to spend the night at a friend's house? Do you always feel comfortable about the parents? Do you ever talk to her about unwanted sexual contact?
Oh. It's never occurred to me. I'm at home with my children all of the time. I know them really well. I know.
Can we talk about your husband, Fiona?
I can't talk about the investigation.
That's fine. Just tell us about you. Did you get away together? Escape the kids?
No, not often.
You don't have any family who could look after them?
Oh, well, yes. I mean, it's not that. We've got babysitters and we do go out.
Once a week? Twice?
Yes. Well, we're supposed to go out once a week. We try.
Do you sleep together?
Yes. Of course, yeah. Our sex life's great. Really great. I'm sorry. These questions are really very awkward for me. I'm not used to social workers. I've never... The solicitor says I mustn't say anything, but I can tell you there is an explanation. It's a professional thing. I have complete faith in my husband. Absolute faith.
She comes out of the kitchen, putting her hand up to her mouth, as if she's going to be sick. Looking troubled, she takes a seat on the bench in the hallway. Sometime later, the social workers leave the house.
That went well.
Fiona storms into the living room and slams the door. Simon and the girls stop in their tracks.
Glad you suffered then.
She bangs the mantelpiece angrily. She stares at him as he walks in.
What was it, Simon?
What?
Did you always get off on looking at children?
No.
Why then? Why?
feel... made me feel better.
Better? Jesus Christ, better? Better than what? What the fuck have you got to feel so unhappy about? Was it me? Oh, for fuck's sake, Simon, don't be silent again! I want to know, was it me? Was it me? Why were you so unhappy? What could make you go and fucking do that? I mean, Jesus Christ, am I really that disgusting? Am I too thin, too old? Yeah, is that what it is? I'm too old, right? Am I too old? You're so fucking pathetic. Why can't you answer me? Are you so pathetic you can't even answer me?
Children can hear you.
I don't give a fuck. Oh, you miserable little creep. Come on. Going for a pizza. Go on, Sal, out.
She hurries the girls out of the house, glancing back at the living room window where Simon is standing sobbing.
Can you have ice cream?
Yes.
Can we have chocolate cake and ice cream?
Yes, why not?
You made Daddy cry.
Yes, I did, darling.
Alice, the eldest, throws her a disgruntled look.
Mummy, you know Willy's?
Yes?
They float.
Why do you say that?
Daddy's does. Last night. In the bath.
Fiona's speechless. They arrive home.
Home.
Simon gives them all a hug.
Can you go upstairs and brush your teeth, please?
I'll be up there in a moment.
I'm going first. No, it's me first.
I'm so sorry.
As he hugs and kisses her, she responds uncertainly.
Did you tell the social services that you still have past with the girls?
No, why? Why?
Do you think it's a good idea?
What do you mean?
I don't know. It doesn't seem...
What? Doesn't seem... What are you saying?
Oh, look, I don't know, I'm not saying anything. Oh.
What are you trying to suggest? Because it's obviously what you're thinking, isn't it? Sad life are we going to have if we can't ever have a bath with our own children? Am I supposed to stop hugging them too, or kissing them goodnight?
I don't know. It's just this thing, isn't it? Everything makes everything dirty.
It's come over you.
I can't think straight.
This is me, it's Simon, it's you and me, remember, Fiona? And we've always had baths with our children. Always, ever since they were tiny.
She watches him run upstairs. Now it's night time. The clock by the bed reads 1:59. Fiona's awake. She moves her head on the pillow, then sits up a little and looks over at Simon. He's fast asleep. She gets out of bed, leaving him breathing heavily. She gets out of a cab in a seedy part of town. A young couple are kissing passionately in an alleyway. She walks past them, heading down the gloomy passageway. She hesitates for a moment, seeing a door up ahead. She walks slowly up to it, past borders of overgrown shrubs, then knocks. The choir leader, Charlie, opens the door, and they go into his flat. He holds her tightly, then starts to kiss her neck. They come face to face and begin to kiss tenderly. They become more passionate, and as they kiss, he helps her to unbutton her coat. She drops her handbag to the floor, and he hurriedly undoes the last button. Her coat drops, and he pushes her slowly down onto the bed. Later, they're lying naked together beneath the covers.
I feel sorry for him. Do you think that's strange? He's like a child, he's so afraid.
He looks away from her.
Charlie.
I thought it was all over.
How can it be? We're married, we've got the children.
How can you sleep with him after what he's done?
God, no, it's not like that. What?
I mean, do you know the kind of stuff these guys look at?
He's not these guys.
It's all over the papers.
I don't read the papers, not since Simon was arrested.
It's horrible, Fiona.
Oh, I don't want to know.
It's cruel. The filthy is utterly corrupt.
Stop it, Charlie. I really don't want to know.
What kind of man do you think he
does? Please, look, I'm sorry, Charlie. Oh, sorry, this was a mistake. I should never have told you.
Don't go. I can take care of you.
I'm sorry, Charlie.
Now she's in an internet cafe looking up news reports on a computer. The red glow from a neon light in the window illuminates the distress on her face. Her lips move silently as she reads the words. Morning. And the sun breaks through the curtains in her bedroom. Still in her coat, she's sitting on the edge of the bed, staring down at Simon. He wakes up.
Hi. Hi.
I want you to tell me what you looked at.
What do you mean?
I want to know. I know what he said, but I want you to tell me what you saw. I A grown man screw a little girl while she cries her heart out. A girl Sal's age.
Do we have to do this now?
A man rape an 11-week-old baby. Did you watch that? A 12-year-old boy forced to fuck his own sister. Did you watch that, Simon? Did you? Did you? Well, did you? What kind of a man are you? What kind of a man are you?
Why are you doing this to us? Why?
On the way to school, Alice hangs back.
It's better when Dad takes us.
I'm sorry about that.
Why can't he?
He's not very well today.
He's not very well a lot, isn't he?
Yes.
Mum?
What is it?
Something bad happened.
What do you mean?
At home, with Dad.
No, everything's fine. Why? Why?
Is Daddy going to die?
Oh, darling. No. Hey, Alice, no, he's not. He's not going to die. He's just very tired, that's all. And he's got a lot on his mind. Hey, come on. It's okay. You'll be all right. Are you okay? Are you sure? Come on. Come on, you'll be all right.
Later, Fiona walks home again on her own, glancing up at the sunny sky.
Simon? Si?
She goes into the kitchen.
Simon? Would you like a cup of tea? Simon?
She runs up the stairs. She checks in the bedroom, then in the study, before noticing that the bathroom door is shut.
Hello? Simon?
She tries the handle.
Unlock the door. Simon? Simon? Please, unlock the door. Simon!
She pushes open the door to find Simon sitting on the edge of the bath with blood pouring from his arm. The sink is stained with red.
What have you done?
Call an ambulance.
Put your arm up. Put your arm above your head, Simon. Oh, Christ. Oh, my God.
I want my brother.
Keep your arm up.
I want my brother.
Keep your arm up. Hold that. Oh. Hold that.
She runs out of the bathroom. Later, Simon's brother arrives.
I want to say sorry on behalf of the whole fucked up Mortimer clan. How's the wounded soldier?
You told Mum and Dad?
No.
Sooner rather than later. Give them a moment to get over it.
Yeah, I'll go and see them.
I'll come with you, if that's what you want.
Thank you.
They've just had dinner.
It's a witch hunt.
Yeah.
Like Salem. You need some perspective, old chap.
Well, I'm way down their list. They're not worried about me. I'm not dangerous, you know that.
No one thinks that, Si. It's the tabloids waving flags, making noise. It's a fuss about nothing. Can I have another?
Is it? A fuss about nothing?
I'm not saying it's okay. It's illegal for a start. But you could say it's a victimless crime.
What about the children?
Well, Then you'd never know.
I mean, the children on Sire's computer.
And their pictures.
Quite.
Yes, they're pictures of real children.
Yes, pictures of real children, but jail sentences for downloading pictures, for Christ's sake. And it's a two-dimensional crime.
I don't think that's quite right, Ed.
And I doubt that many of them go on to fiddle about. I suspect they're mostly looking at soft focus adolescent girls, that's all. And it's hard to be too damning when you drive to work past the wretched stuff plastered on billboards in miniature totty all doled up to the nines.
So it's no big deal?
That's not what he said.
What did he say, then?
I think one could so easily tumble into this kind of thing, only to discover that the punishment is disproportionate to the crime.
And get 2 years for killing someone in a drink-drive accident, for fuck's sake.
Exactly.
But don't people like you create a demand? Aren't you responsible?
People like me? Where did that come from?
But the stuff's already out there. Look, Fiona, men look at girls, I do, and they look at porn on the internet, I do that too. But perhaps for some men, it's like a drug. You know, suddenly the old missionary position isn't enough, so to speak, and the initial thrill wears off, and they need harder stuff to get the same hit.
That's crap.
No, it's true.
It's crap.
No, I know it's true. Internet providers are just like drug dealers. They peddle this stuff and then take responsibility for their actions.
Yeah, but you can know what you're doing is wrong, Simon, even if you can't help doing it. Those children are real. They're as real as my own children, as our children asleep upstairs.
She stares at Simon in disbelief. Another day, and Fiona's in the living room when she spots Simon coming home.
You bailed me for another 2 months. 2 months.
Fiona looks at the letter.
Services must have got us pushed back down the list. A low priority. Oh, I could be on bail for forever, practically. Well done, you. Oh, well done. It's all down to you. Well done. Why don't we go away somewhere?
I can't afford it.
Is that place near Mum and Dad's? I can see if it's free. Well, come on. Just good to get away.
She continues to look at the letter.
Fee. Look, I know things are terrible. And I know this hasn't gone away, believe me, but I feel sound really weird with everything that's going on, but I feel kind of happy. It is a bit weird, isn't it? Not happy, then better. Yeah, I feel better now that everything's out in the open, you know, as if I can really be me. Even had a hard on this morning. And that's really important to me because, you know, during all this time, Fee, I had no feeling, no sexual feeling at all. Not for you, not for anything. It's like being anaesthetized. But now I feel like I'm waking up.
Simon.
I know. I know it's too soon for you to know what you really want. I just wanted to say that. But I feel like I can really make this work. We could even have another baby.
Now Fiona's sitting pensively in the garden of Simon's parents' sumptuous house. The girls are playing on swings nearby. Simon's mother comes outside.
What did they actually say?
Don't remember.
Did you tell him your bail's up again in September?
She stares at him.
They do know you might be facing charges, right?
He ignores her, and she glances back at the children who are listening to music.
Do they know you might lose your job and the house? That you might be going to prison?
He doesn't respond at all.
Well, do they?
He continues to drive as if he hasn't heard her. They pull up outside a row of tiny cottages next to a picturesque beach. The girls get out of the car and run down to the beach. Gentle waves lap the shingly beach. Night falls, and Fiona's dozed off on the beach. Simon approaches her, and she gets to her feet.
Oh, it's getting cold.
Good night, then.
Good night.
Is that it?
She stops and goes back to kiss him.
Night.
I love you, Linda.
He reaches out for her arm and steps closer to her. Stroking her face, he starts to kiss her, but she doesn't respond. And when he puts his arms around her, she leaves hers hanging limply beside her.
You're my wife.
Simon, I can't sleep with you.
She steps away and looks back at him.
I can't sleep with you ever again. It's over.
He takes a small step backwards.
Is there someone else?
No.
Come on, please. I can't do this alone.
It's all right. I'll be there. I'll be there for you all through, and you can lean on me, and I'll love you just the same. I just can't be your wife.
I don't want this, you know. I really don't want this. No.
I've loved you so much, Simon. You don't love me. Not really. I don't think you could ever have loved me.
I do love you. I do.
You left me ages ago.
All the bad stuff, all that weird stuff is over. And it's gone. I'm happy now. Can't you see that I'm happy? Can't you see that? I can really look after you. I think I can make this work.
Oh, it's too much damage.
Do not make me live apart from my children.
I'm not going to take them away.
Am I really such a monster? Is that it, Fee? Is that it? Am I really such a monster?
He marches off. Now, the girls are playing tennis at Simon's parents' house.
I think Edith's looking a little pale.
Simon's mother looks down at her hands uncomfortably.
Jean came over this afternoon and brought some splendid eggs. Helen, look, I know Simon talked to you before he went home. I just want you to know that this isn't what I wanted. I wanted to be married forever, like you and Theo.
I wanted to grow older, so I'm just really sorry.
Lots of men have midlife crises.
I know. Helen.
Some more tea, dear.
Helen pours some more tea. Fiona pulls up outside the house, and the girls run up the steps to where Simon's waiting for them. Fiona gets out of the car and slowly makes her way round to the steps. Sally jumps into her dad's arms, and Fiona pauses as she watches him carry her inside. Then she too heads up the steps and inside the house. Sometime later, she's sitting at a table outside a coffee shop with Simon, who's smoking a cigarette.
Another 3 months.
You're joking. 3 months? How long can this go on? It'll be Christmas again.
Well, the flat will be ready in a week or so. Been really looking forward to having the girls over. I was hoping every other weekend for the whole weekend.
No.
Why?
I don't think I could bear to be apart from them overnight.
But they want to come and stay for you.
She drinks her coffee.
There's someone else.
Oh, God, we've been through this.
No, Fee, I've found someone else. It was when I came back after our chat. I was free.
Who is she?
She's called Tanya.
A picture in his wallet.
How old is she?
26.
Does she know?
She doesn't think it's a big deal.
She takes a deep breath.
I'm sorry, Fee.
Don't be sorry. I'm pleased for you.
Thanks.
There was someone for me as well.
What?
Guy at choir called Charlie. It never went anywhere. I mean, it was just a bit of kissing me.
You slept with him, didn't you?
Yes, I did once.
Such a liar. God almighty, such a liar.
Simon.
Such a liar.
I couldn't tell you, could I?
Why not?
You wanted to die. I was trying to look after you.
You did a great job. Great job. Oh, my God. Wow, all that time you were carrying on.
No.
Then you tried to dump me so you could run off with lover
boy. No, it wasn't like that.
No, what was it like?
Okay, I said the words, but you left my bed years ago, Simon. Somebody came along who seemed to want me.
And you fucked me.
No.
I was never unfaithful to you once in all our time together. Not once. Not even a kiss. Not even a kiss, Fiona.
You looked at pictures of children being abused. Not
never
me.
Never let me forget that. Never let me forget that! It's amazing. We've got a chance to start all over again, but you'll never stop punishing me. Never stop punishing me.
He storms off. Later, Fiona's cooking dinner.
Can you put some plates out, please?
Okay. Alice comes in and puts dirty football boots on the kitchen counter.
Don't put those there.
Dad says you've got a boyfriend.
What have you said?
You haven't, have you?
No, of course not. Can you wash your hands, please?
Is that why you made him go away?
I told you, darling. We just stop making each other happy.
Liar.
Alice?
hate you, you bloody cow.
She throws her boots down and storms out. Simon takes the girls to the car.
I'm sitting in the front.
Well, I miss them all the time, too.
I said no, Simon.
I think you'll find that normal access runs from Saturday morning to Sunday evening.
I think you'll find we're not normal, are we?
Well, it was never a problem, me being left alone with the kids when we lived together. What's different now?
She leans her head on the doorframe.
Look, I'm sorry I told Alice, all right? I was hurt.
It's not that. You know it's not that.
I'll get Tanya over if that's what you're worried about. Kids like Tanya.
Girls, you like Tanya, don't you?
Yeah! She melts.
Yeah, they can stay.
She watches him go to the car with concern, then shuts the front door and peeps through the glass panes before banging her head against it. With her hands on her head, she looks back at the empty hallway. Scratching the top of her head, she goes to the foot of the stairs. As she's about to go up, she changes her mind and, looking lost, drops down onto the hallway bench. She gazes at the front door for a moment, then rests her head in her hands. Next morning, she wakes up in bed. She gets out of bed and reaches for her dressing gown. Standing in front of a mirror, she wipes the sleep from her eyes. Downstairs, she opens the front door and picks up a newspaper from the doorstep. Then she heads into the kitchen, sets the paper down on the table, and goes to fill the kettle. She puts the kettle on the hob and switches on the ring. Leaving it to boil, she takes a seat at the table and picks up a wind-up toy that's been discarded there. It's a pair of chattering teeth with large eyeballs attached to the top. The hint of a smile plays across her lips. Later, in a park.
Hi, Mum!
Hi. Oh, I missed you.
Hi.
Hello. We had crisps.
Did you?
Yes. Daddy's got a special machine that makes your hot chocolate frothy.
Oh, has he?
I slept in Daddy's big bed.
Why?
I like sleeping with Daddy.
She's nearly five.
She's only little. Why is it such a big deal?
You know what the big deal is. She needs her own bed.
I've got room, okay?
So it's okay for her to sleep in your bed, but not Dad's?
That's not what I'm saying.
It is. Dad's in this tiny little flat, and you're in our great big house all on your own.
Another day, and Fiona arrives at a friend's house.
Girls. Sorry, I'm running late as usual.
Well, that's okay. I'll pick the others up first.
Can we have a word? I feel awful, but Edith and Beth, well, they were playing on the internet and, well, they stumbled across a porn site. It's fine, don't panic. It was just, you know, ugly people bonking.
Bloody idiot. Have you not got a filter on your computer?
Yeah, I've been meaning to put one on.
Well, it's a bit bloody late.
Look, I'm sorry. They didn't see anything so horrible. No, we talked it through. What is it for you?
Thank you so much.
Sweetheart, look, I'm really sorry.
Oh, I fucking hate the internet, I hate it!
Fiona, Fiona,
I can't breathe.
It's all right. You didn't see anything.
I can't. I'm sorry. No, I can't.
Would you get inside now?
Fee, come here.
What is it, sweetheart? It's all right. It's all right.
Later, inside.
I'm sorry. I wanted to tell you ages ago, but Simon said it would be impossible for the girls if it got out.
Simon said?
Yeah.
How much do they know?
How do you explain those pictures to a child?
So much for you to carry, Fee. Won't always be like this.
Yeah, but it will, won't it? It'll always be like this. It's not going to go away.
What made him do it?
Don't know. He says he doesn't know. Well, he won't talk about it. He won't say anything in case I have to testify. But, I know what he looked at was vile. And I know he looked at it for a very long time.
So where did it all go? All that anger and violence. I mean, it must have been an angry and violent person to even look at stuff like that.
Simon's not like that. No, he's not. He wouldn't hurt a fly. He may have hated himself, but he would never lay a finger on anybody else. I know that. I know.
And you let him see the girls alone?
Her eyes are red as she nods a little.
So I can't let Beth visit Edith at her father's home.
Jules. She'd be completely safe.
How do you know that? And what about their other friends? Do they go there? I mean, we'd have to tell their parents.
Sorry?
I can't take responsibility for him with other people's children. I can't pretend I don't know.
This isn't about you, Jules.
And it's not just about you either, can't you see? It's not just your story. It's very hard for you and the kids,
hard.
I know. Please,
I just want to help you.
You can't protect him forever.
I'm not protecting him. I'm protecting my children. Edith.
Look, I know how difficult this is for you.
You have no idea.
Crying, Fiona grabs Edith and rushes out. At an indoor ski slope.
You're going to have such a lovely time at Dad's. Granny's going to be here. And Grandpa.
Fiona watches the skiers.
Hi. Shall I introduce you to Tanya?
Yeah. Thank you. I'll just say hello to your mum. In fact, can you say hi for me?
Fiona hurries off, walking out of the building past people being carried up the slope on a ski lift. Now she's in a haberdasher's.
Hello, sweetheart. Yes, of course it's me. How was skiing? Really? Clever girl, that was really good then. Did you have a nice time? Sally, darling, I can't see what you're looking at. Yeah. Yeah, of course you can. You could wear that with your red skirt, yeah. Yes, I can. I know I can hear that. Sally, Angel. Is somebody else there with you? No, somebody else. Sally, darling. Sally, can you put your daddy on, please? Yes, I want to speak to Dad. Simon. Yeah, it's... Yeah, listen, I was... Do you think it's a good idea to have the girls' friends round to your flat? No, I'm not trying to tell you what to do in your own home. It's just... Simon, what would her mother think if she knew... Look at that, but we're not normal, are we? I mean... Simon?
She drives through a multi-story car park to the exit.
Oh, please.
She scrabbles round in her bag for the ticket she needs to get through the barrier.
Fucking hell!
She inserts it into the machine. Now she's sitting a little way down from Simon's flat in the car, watching a little girl leave with an older woman. She sinks back into her seat as the woman, the little girl, Amy, and their dog walk off down the street. Simon's holding Sally as they wave her friend goodbye. Fiona seems troubled as they walk past. Framed photographs in the bedroom. Fiona and Simon beam happily out of one of them, while in another, one of the girls wears a grumpy expression. There's a baby picture, and another of Fiona and Simon wearing sunglasses. Fiona's in bed. She stirs and something wakes her up. She reaches beneath the covers and pulls out a careworn teddy bear, which she throws onto the floor. The clock reads 3:15, and the girls' rooms are empty, the beds made. In one room, a pair of life-size flamingos stand sentry next to one of the girls' beds. The next day, she watches from the window as Simon brings the girls home. They rush inside to her.
Hi, darling. Hi.
Hi, Mum.
I'm going to put the teddy on.
Simon?
He follows her into the kitchen, checking his watch, and she shuts the door.
Simon, I thought we could do this, but I can't trust you.
Why?
You lie. You lie to me, but most of all, you lie to yourself. I can't hold steady anymore. I need help.
You don't say.
So do you.
Well, mate.
I'm going to the social services.
We're off their list, remember? What are you going to tell them? You lied to protect me?
I want them to help us.
There is no us. You do what you like, but you can't tell me what to do, not anymore.
If you make me do this alone, you will see them once a month under supervision.
That's worth it to you, is it? Fee, I wake up every morning without my children. Every single morning. You're still here, living in
lap of luxury.
I want to do the right thing.
Well, I hope you're proud of yourself. Jesus. I don't deserve this. All right, I looked at some pictures. All right, I admit that. Is that really so bad? Do you really think that's so bad? Is that bad enough to destroy our marriage and ruin our children's lives?
Yes, I suppose I do. Look, Simon, you're lovely. You're charming and kind. You're a good father, but I don't know. It's like there's a trapdoor and underneath there's something else, because I don't know what you see when you look at Sally.
What? Disgusting.
I mean it.
I'm a good man. A good father.
I've made the appointment, Simon. I'm going with or without you.
Fucking bitch.
I think you should leave.
This is my house. My house. Everything that's in it. My kids, right? My kids.
Get off!
You understand? My...
Get off me!
You understand?
Call the police! Call the
fucking police! Cunt! Dishonest! Dishonest cunt!
He storms out. Later, she checks on Edith, who's tucked up in bed.
You're still awake.
I need a hug.
She holds Edith tightly.
Mummy.
Yes.
Why does Daddy hate you? You must have done something really horrible. I feel sorry for Daddy.
It's Daddy. He just wants to say goodnight. You come with me, Alice.
Okay.
Quickly. You did stay there. Quickly.
Alice climbs down from the top bunk and goes with Fiona. Edith pulls her duvet over her head. Fiona and Alice go downstairs, hand in hand. Simon's standing outside in the rain. And when she opens the front door, Alice goes out to hug him.
That's enough. Simon. I said that's enough.
Fiona pulls Alice inside, then leads her back upstairs, glancing back at Simon, who's out in the downpour. Another day, she takes pictures down from the study wall and strips the bed. She carries the bedding out of the room. She comes home to find Simon waiting outside the house.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that, they're not pressing charges. So, it's over.
You don't understand what you've done, do you?
And what's that, Fiona? What is it exactly that I'm supposed to have done? They're not pressing charges because there was no incriminating image on any of the computers. Just a few pictures of some teenage girls.
Don't lie. You were terrified that you were going to go to prison. You don't go to prison for downloading pictures of teenage girls.
Then why didn't they find anything? Because there was never anything to find.
You destroyed your laptop, Simon. That doesn't make you innocent.
Who are you going to tell? Look, they didn't find anything. There wasn't anything to find, and if you so much as suggest that there was, I'll sue you.
You didn't think of us once in this last year, did you? Not once in all of your grief and fear, let alone those children on your computer screen. But I know the truth. I will always know, and you will always know that I know.
She goes to the front door and takes the keys from her pocket. Letting herself in hurriedly, she glances back at him as she reaches down for one of her shopping bags. Now she's painting the walls of the study white. The room's empty of furniture and there are dust sheets on the floor. At choir practice in the church, Charlie's conducting the singers. Fiona's come in. She walks slowly towards them, hanging her coat on a pew as she goes. Some of the singers smile when they notice her and move a little to let her in. She takes her place and starts to sing along, sharing a score with the woman standing next to her. Smiling, she looks around her as they sing together.
Sweet home.